Barefoot is Legal. This week we have Tony Frost with us. How are you doing, Tony? How is your week going?
I am blessed, and it went fairly well. Thank you. How is yours?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just getting over not feeling too good at the end of the week, but I'm doing all right. So this week I noticed on Facebook a little bit of activity going on with new members. Pull some of this up here, take a quick look. But I've noticed we've had quite a few new members, and they're usually talking about experiences just really trying out the lifestyle. And we had one out here. Where is it? First, let me go back and try to find something you're just looking at. It doesn't always work out that well. But I've noticed quite a few different people. Here we go. Yesterday was a great day, Barefoot. LCBO, I don't know what that is. Home Depot, Longo, Supermarket, Shoppers Drug Mart, and ironically, a shoe company where I bought a pair of shoes for work. Not a word or weird look. Probably the last of warm days, so that must be somebody that's up in the north somewhere. and show the picture of a lady that's shopping. Looks like she's out enjoying the day. We also asked about an experience with public libraries, and it is kind of funny because there was actually, I know, because somebody was challenging the fact that they were requiring them to go barefoot in the public library, but that was quite a few years back.
I've always gone into libraries barefoot.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I've always gone into libraries barefoot.
Oh, yeah, me too. But apparently there's, I guess if you get, and like this one person's talking about, one of the people that responded said that she goes barefoot but just has to avoid a certain librarian. It comes down to something we've often talked about. It really comes down to not a place, but the actual people that are in it. It really comes down to people and their perceived beliefs or thoughts hard on us as well. So,
okay.
I've heard that over the time, but I've, like you said, you have, and I've never had a problem. Not in a library ever.
Not in Barnes & Noble, not in any bookstores.
No, and funny, I've seen people post specifically that one that they've had trouble in. And, you know, the funny part is it's getting to the point where places like a Barnes & Noble or a book or a library or some of these places, I've been going barefoot so long now, I can't even remember the last time I wore shoes at any of these places. I just don't. But,
see, I grab a shoe. Yeah, I grab, you know, say a pair of flip-flops or what have you.
Oh, me too, yeah.
But, I mean, as far as anything else, you know, I don't accessorize my outfits to go with the shoes.
Right.
I used to be, you know, one that I would have a pair of shoes to accessorize with outfits or what have you. But, you know, that was when I was in the workforce and or had, you know, banquets or what have you to attend. But, I mean, I wear a woman size 12. And depending on how the shoe is made, I may need a 13.
So.
And typically the only size you can find is a 10. So my feet aren't going to fit in the shoes anyway.
Mm-hmm. And accessorize, you think it really comes down to the social acceptance of the day because, you know, we don't think of gloves typically too much for accessorizing anymore. I mean, and I know at one time they were. But,
yeah, the gloves was a very big thing in society. Like, a lot of people miss that when they read The Little Women or anything. How the gloves determines your status in society.
Yeah, and the same is, you know, true for shoes, and hopefully you think of that any differently than gloves anymore. you really don't see. Well, maybe it's because I'm from the southeast here. You really don't see any wool gloves ever down here. I'm sure in a cooler climate, but I think even in the cooler parts of the country, they're worn these days more for the protection than for style these days.
Yes. I mean, to find a pair of white gloves or anything for, say, like if your daughter wanted to have tea time, you know, gloves is the old-fashioned set for tea time. But you can't find them anymore. Not unless possibly around Easter time, you know.
Saying, can't find shoes anymore?
Yeah, that would be.
Don't see it happening anytime soon, but it would be kind of ironic, wouldn't it?
That is a massive corporation there.
Yeah, I do think so sometimes. And with all of the information that's now available on damages they do, it still amazes me that we're in such an infancy as far as trying to get the word out, and it's still such a foreign thing to people. And to think it's really only been a couple of decades that it's really been part of the social norm to the to the level it is, that practically one other thing in modern society that there's such a galvanized belief that you have to have them on at all times.
Yeah, I just can't get it to how these people have, their shoes for their job. They have shoes for inside the house. They have shoes for outside, for taking the trash out. I'm like, okay. Well, I still laugh at my son because he goes to take the trash out, he'll fit his flip-flops on.
I guess it depends on the surfaces, but,
Well, when we first moved in here, there's a lot of glass. There's broken mirrors, broken glasses, and we had to clean up the backyard and the surrounding yard. I think for 2 months, I spent time cleaning up the common area back here where the kids play.
Yeah, you definitely want to do that.
And then there's one time some kids got a hold of light bulbs for some reason and was just breaking them along the sidewalk.
Great. That's always special.
So, and that's the walkway that you take to get back to the trash can.
Yeah. So I can kind of see where that can, but it is, that is unfortunate. There's actually a college here in Florida. It's over on the West Coast where they actually have a rule against, having any glass on campus, like drink bottles or whatever it may be, because so many of the students go barefoot. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's called a new college.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought, how much different the world would be if more people went barefoot, as far as how people would maybe pay more attention to what they throw on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
For what surfaces are made out of. I think about blacktop, We've got, half the country paved in blacktop, and it really just radiates heat. And I'm not talking about just for the going barefoot, but how that affects, just your general comfort level when it's 100 degrees out, you get out of a place that's all blacktop. Shoes or not, it's just hot. So I remember watching a video in Australia, and I honestly thought it was an indoor mall at first, the way it looked. But the sidewalks were all done in what appeared to be like a tile material. And, a lot of people do go barefoot over there.
Yeah, that's the same with New Zealand.
Yeah. Definitely both areas.
I have a friend of mine that lives in New Zealand, and she took a little video for me once, a few years ago, as she was walking through the shopping section. And, I mean, I could see with the way she was doing the video, I could see that it was outside because you could see the clouds and the sun and everything else. And I'm like, you know, wow, that's nice. That looks like an indoor mall.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was their shopping section.
Yeah, and it's
and there
are
Kmart's over
there.
she was taking pictures, and she was like, well, I had to go to Kmart. And I'm sitting here like, Kmart? Okay, you know, what we think of Kmart over here. And over there, it looked like a Maison Blanche or a Macy's or something.
Yeah, it is amazing. I have myself looked at a lot of different, you know, pictures and videos over there. And again, it comes down to, I've looked at it because it is prevalent for people to go barefoot. And, you know, do they keep the places nicer? Do they put better materials in for that? Or is it just different culture? People also seem happier spending most of their time barefoot like that. At least they appear to be.
Yes. So notice, where did we go the other day that someone had said something? Because I walked in, I had my shoes in my hand. And anyway, my daughter walked in, and she had her shoes on her feet, but as soon as I collected the buggy, you know, my shoes went underneath the buggy on the bottom rack. And then, well, you know, she's putting hers on top of mine. I don't remember where we were. But as we walked in, someone had said something about shoes. And I said, oh yeah, you know, I've got them right here. And I just kept on walking, you know. And he was like, okay. So anyway, but my husband was ahead of me, so, you know, I was trying to catch up with him. And then later on, I think it was Costco, and then one of the ladies over in the clothing, the soft line department, she had said something about being careful with me being barefoot. And I said, oh, I know. And, I'm used to it and everything. And she was like, all right. She's like, I just don't want you to get hurt. And I said, no. So I put shoes on, I'll hurt.
Yeah.
So
that's very true.
I just have them. I said, I pretty much just keep shoes on me. Just, you know, if somebody was to say something, say, here, I've got them right here. Don't worry about it. Don't freak out. But for the most part, and like I was going into court yesterday, on the sign it says no cell phones, no drinks, no flip-flops whatsoever. And it literally said no flip-flops whatsoever.
Oh, God.
And guess what I have?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I have are the fold-up type that I mentioned previously, you know, that's, and I don't even bring them with me anymore. They stay in the car. I do wear my flip-tops, which really look like a pair of flip-flops, but they're only on the top side at all. But that I wear, and it keeps me from being questioned more times than not. And the funny part is, even if I am questioned, it seems like there's a different response. They don't, they're just more curious, not, you know
mm-hmm.
don't make an issue of it, which really surprises me, because literally, you know, that's all I wear ever, about anywhere. And, you know, I have the fold-up flip-flops, and a lot of times my wife would carry them in her purse because it was just easier. Well, it was easier for me, but she didn't mind. You know, they just made them small.
Yeah,
but,
our purses seem to be the catch-all for everything.
Yeah, you know, but we were going somewhere, I can't remember where now, it's been a while back, and I had been wearing the flip-tops for quite a while, and, you know, I'd asked her to, you know, put the fold-up flip-flops in her purse, and she actually looked at me and said, do you think you even need to bring them anymore? And I was really taken back, I mean, in a good way, but that, you know, that, one, she'd accepted so much to that point, And two, that, you know, I was really not needing them anymore. So they're in the car. They're still in the car. really funny story is we were meeting at a tropical smoothie. I don't know if you have those up there. But
yeah, so we have them
place.
Here in Virginia.
and they do a flip-flop day where if you come in flip-flops, you get a free smoothie like a couple times a year. They put out a little promotion. And my wife and I were in two separate cars, and we lived, you know, pretty close to one of them here. So it was that flip-flop day, and I had, you know, talked to the people that worked there, you know, jokingly, and said, well, are my flip-tops going to work? That's, you know, and they, you know, that's all I ever wear, and they, of course, you know, that's not right. But she said, let me run home and get my flip-flops.
Yeah.
So she did.
Yeah.
And the funny part is we forgot I had my flip-flops in the car, you know, in my car, because she had just worn those. But I hadn't used them in so long that, you know, she went home and got them, and I didn't even realize until she was just about back that we had the fold-up ones in the car, because I just haven't taken them out of the car. They just stay in the car. And, so it was kind of funny. I just thought it was kind of funny. But I mean, luckily we're just around the corner from the place, so it wasn't a big deal, but it was just kind of funny. But, and again, I know I make these the Moravian, but I think any type of barefoot sandal from things I've read from other people,
haven't seen too many of the barefoot sandals. I've seen the shoes that have toes cut out on them. I mean, the toe section.
Is that on your end? I'm curious.
Yeah, that's my dog. My husband's aggravating the dog.
Oh, okay. a lot of times you'll hear pests at my house in the background. But, Sue Kennedy makes a pair of shoes that are just on the top. There's nothing on the bottom. And then bare bottoms, she calls hers. And there's a lot of them out there that look mainly like jewelry, you know.
Daughter a pair of those for her birthday. My mom works at Three Peas and a Bean up here, a little nostalgic store, I guess you could say, on some things. But one of the things that she got, they had in, were the things that you wrap around your toe, and then the other part goes around your ankle.
Right.
And, well, whatever they're called. She says they're called ankle braces. But anyway, so Bree has those. My mom got her.
But they broke.
Oh, they broke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
Yeah, there's a lot that they usually call barefoot sandals when they loop around the toe like that. And, most of them do look, the ones that I make go between the large toe and the second toe with a very small piece of foam, so it looks like a flip-flop that's going down between your toes, but it just has a very small area underneath where it holds, and then it looks like a flip-flop on the top. But there's a... Again, that's all I really... I don't always wear them either. Sometimes I'll just go barefoot, but when I actually got into that, don't even realize they're on sometimes, but, you know, pretty much wear them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to keep a pair of shoes in the van because I forget sometimes. Especially here lately, so I've not been getting out of the house as much. The, for some places that say no shoes, no service, or what have you, or just to go somewhere just in case, you know, not knowing where I'm going as far as the potential hazards or what have you.
Yeah.
Then I'm sitting here like, okay, I forgot my shoes. My daughter keeps a pair of shoes. She has a pair of Crocs in the van. I can't stand to wear them. They don't make them fit me unless I get the men's anyway. So, but to me, they're just too cushiony, too spongy, or what have you. I mean, there's times, you know, mostly here lately that I've caught myself, you know, and then my husband's like, oh, I think you have a pair back here in the cubby hole. We have a little cubby hole storage space in the back of the van behind the back seat, since we have a Nissan Quest. And anyway, so he goes back there and he digs me out a couple of pairs of shoes. And I'm like, okay. And of course, everything I have is like flip-flops. I have one pair of shoes, but I couldn't even tell you where they are.
Like I said, I had the fold-up ones I kept in the car, but I honestly haven't put them on. I just haven't had a place I've needed to. As far as the signs, I pretty much ignore them. There's not many of them around here anyways. There just really aren't. So
Well, some places say, like, we're going on a homeschool field trip, you know, taking something to make a class out of it.
Sure.
You know, there are some
there
places that require that you have shoes. So.
Yeah, there are. But, again, I've made anywhere. So, but I know there are times where the funny part is also, you know, as far as hazards, it seems like the longer I've been going barefoot, the less I feel there are hazards I have to worry about. I've gotten so adept at it. Very seldom am I in a situation where I feel like I really need them for anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in Louisiana. And down there, you know, we didn't have paved driveways so much or gravel. What they did is they'd take those small little seashells and stuff, because they'd have so much of them. They just crushed them up, and that's what they used for, you know, gravel or driveways and stuff. And, I mean, I grew up going barefoot on that stuff.
Yeah, in Florida it's the same way. They have coquina a lot of times. You don't see as much as you used to, but they used to be very popular. And it's just crushed up shells and such.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, there's not much of a terrain that I can't go on. Now, I did notice last week as I was over at my mom's house, because she has, it's concrete, you know, paved or what have you, but it's the pea gravel. And the texture really comes up out of the concrete.
Yeah.
But I noticed for some reason that my feet were a little sensitive to it. Which I was like, I wonder why. I wonder what's going on. And then shortly after that, my iron bottomed out. So I don't know if maybe that's the connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could have been. Been something else going on.
On top of the storm coming, you know, the rains and winds and everything, the threats that we had, I'm just like, okay. And then my iron drops out on me, so I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah. So did that really affect you? I mean, I didn't really see how you came through that.
Well, we came through it just fine, but I also believe in prayer. There's other people around us that had no power or electricity. Ours just, you know, I guess the wind was just messing with signals and everything. But as far as everything, we remained comfortable. But a lot of dropped calls. Internet was flickering in and out. I mean, it just was not dependable, phone service or internet. And then we're up in a higher area. We sit on a hill. The areas around us flooded. And South Carolina is still flooded, but, you know, we're in the Williamsburg
really
area of Virginia, so we didn't get as bad. Now, Langley, I know they closed the Air Force base for a few days. But I expected that storm. I expected it to take a hook and then come right dabbing into us, you know. So
no, it was going out to the northeast. So. something like that. But
so
I mean,
many times, you know, I grew up, you know, around the storms, and they'd say, oh, it's not going to hit, or this is where it's going to go, and then it turns, and then it does something that people aren't expecting. So
yeah,
I've learned, okay, I don't listen to what somebody else says. I keep an eye on it for myself.
Yeah. Well, they have improved quite a bit, though, with the hurricane hunters and all that. But I do know, you know, growing up here, even there's been some that have changed direction, surprisingly. But, yeah, I'm fortunate down here where we are. There's, you know, areas around us that flood when we get heavy, you know, rains or whatever, really bad. I mean, we've been so saturated, just like you guys. But where we are, there's a pond that's on, there's two separate ponds on, well, actually three, really, that surround our property, and the water just kind of runs off into them, so we really don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a lot of rain before they, you know, they're pretty much draining off all the land. And so it's been fortunate there.
Yeah, well, this year here we've had a lot of rain.
Yeah.
Of course, this is my first year here, so, I mean, I don't know what to expect, what not to expect, so I'm researching everything, and I discovered that it was
normal.
A thousand-year flood,
yeah.
You know, and then now everybody is getting ready for snow, so I'm like, okay, so I'm looking in, okay, according to the weather pattern, or what have you, we're supposed to be in for a lot of snow. I'm like, okay, great. Well.
Yeah.
I have a pair of muck boots, but that's about all I've got, and that's all I'm going to get, too. But the only reason I have those is in case I go into a horse stall or something, you know, if I'm...
Sure.
But
no, the weather's been weird this year, and it's definitely not normal for these to get this much. But I can't complain. I'd take the rain over the drought any day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was in Texas for 7 years, so I very much appreciate the rain.
Yeah, I don't, and sometimes people complain about it, but I never do, because we're in an area where sometimes when it's really dry, there's a lot of wildfires around, not super close to us, but close enough where you can smell them and go through them and everything else, so
mm-hmm.
I'll take the
rain. Well, in Texas, I mean, we had to, we really had to keep an eye on the fires, and people would just, you know, be so comfortable or what have you. They're just with no concern whatsoever. Oh, no big deal. But, I mean, a fire could just start up in no time, and then it's out of control before the fire department can even get there. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't take long.
And remember this one time we stopped, we were leaving Sam's Club in Abilene, and they just built a new Sam's Club out our way of town. So then there's this fire that had started up, I guess, from somebody putting out their cigarette butt. And it just took up. And there's like 15 cars pulled over videotaping it. But I'm like, okay. So I call, and I was like, I was just wanted to make sure that somebody's reported this fire. I said, because I know the fire department is not far from here. And, you know, I don't hear sirens or see any sign of anything. And she's like, no. She's like, we haven't gotten any calls. And I was like,
great.
Oh, great. You know, we have, like, people over here videotaping it and everything with their cell phones. Nobody's bothered to call it in, you know?
Yeah, that's about how it's gotten to anymore. We have to take a quick ad break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Okay.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
And we're back.
So, how are you? How was your little break?
It was pretty good, pretty good. Actually, I was just thinking about on the Society for Barefoot Living, there was an article of Sabrina Fox. I wouldn't call it an article, but she put out there that her new book was out about her year of going barefoot. And I was actually going to look for the link that I've seen of video she puts out. Really good video, actually, in English, that's on YouTube. So I'll add that to the chat room as soon as I can find that. But it definitely has a good video.
Mm-hmm.
Very informative. Very.
I don't know why I can't even open up the chat room right now. I was able to the other day, but wasn't able to today.
Hmm. Yeah, some of the technology is great when it works, but when it doesn't. But I'll find
I'm not the only parent in the house, baby. Turn your head. You're not hacking this code. There you go.
I will.
Thank you.
So, I noticed earlier today whenever, because I was, there was a clip that came through my Facebook feed. And typically the only thing I do on Facebook is, you know, check news or, you know, see if there's any chatter out there on certain topics and stuff. And then to fellowship with others. So like if I have a question about something I'm studying in the Bible or something, you know, just to touch base with others, because I am pretty much reclused in my own house, more so for choice than health anymore. But it's anyway, the article was on Bindi Irwin, and she was on Dancing with the Stars, and I noticed that she was barefoot. So I don't have cable. I don't watch the shows. So I would not have seen the show unless somebody had posted the clip on Facebook. And I was like, you know, it's one thing that I noticed whenever I was in dance is, you know, I always danced barefoot. So as earlier today we were discussing and I typed in, you know, society, celebrities or whatever, just different types of search topics that I typed in. And I was amazed at all the amounts of celebrities that pulled up that went barefoot. I know Matthew McConaughey was one that I've repeatedly noticed that he goes barefoot in a lot of his photos.
Yeah, definitely. There's quite a few out there. And not just, you know, some of them, not just, some of them are going barefoot in public, too. There's pictures of them shopping and going to different places. That's actually a good thing, because I'm not, I know you aren't either, really one that follows the stars that much, but a lot of people do. So, and I'm not passing judgment one way or another on that. I just mean that it's just something I don't really do that
much. It's just
much.
Not an interest of mine. I mean.
Right. Yeah. So, but I do notice, you know, when you look out there, there are quite a few that are, you know, it is really funny, because I saw something that was kind of talking about, you know, you once perceived poverty, you know, when somebody was barefoot as a sign of poverty for being barefoot. But now being barefoot could also be more as a sign of wealth, or somebody that's in control of, you know, what they are doing, you know, because they don't have to put up a front for someone else, or they don't have to, you know, necessarily
blend in.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was kind of ironic as well. It's actually a full circle, really.
Well, I noticed there's pictures that go around that, you know, of people wearing water bottles for shoes and stuff.
Yeah.
One advertisement, you know, you have Tom's, I think it is Tom's shoes, that if you buy one, they donate a pair.
Right.
Overseas.
Yeah. I've got mixed feelings on that myself. I mean, if it's somewhere where they truly need it for health reasons, that's fine. But I've read too many things on some of these groups that it's really more of a scam. And that's only my own opinion based on what I've seen out there. You know, more of a marketing ploy or whatever. And I'm not referring to Tom's necessarily, just, you know, in general, things that, you know, the different groups that do things like that.
Well, Tom's is one that I will, you know, I actually do their style, you know, they're flat and everything. They just don't make them in my size, so I don't know what it would be like to wear a pair, because they will not fit me. But, you know, as far as some areas, on the sanitary aspects of something, you know, we are a super blessed nation whenever it comes to certain things. People take things for granted. But then you have these corporations that are making money off these shoes and everything else, and people don't realize, like these, what was it, Skechers, that came out with the one rocking shoe.
where it had the bulk of the sole was at the arch, and it was supposed to help you tone your thighs and everything else.
Hmm.
But a lot of people had so many other health issues that developed because of them wearing those shoes.
Yeah, you are right. There are areas, and that's why I'd mentioned, you know, there are places that may need them for a certain reason, but I've also read articles where they were, you know, perfectly happy to be barefoot, and I was talking about, I think, South Africa in some cases where it really was not due to a, you know, a poverty need or anything, but they were...
They make it more...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So... That from that respect, I do agree. And it always amazes me also that as human beings, we feel that we can out-design nature. You know, our bodies are amazing things. Our technology is getting better all the time, but it's nowhere near as advanced as just our bodies are. You know, it's things that are natural.
Yeah, it just amazes me. We have all this, you know, as far as all of the generations throughout the history, you know, we are the most educated, but yet we're also the dumbest. I'm just astounded at some of it. You know, it's just, okay.
It is true, though, as societies develop, our brains actually shrink. So... there's lots of different viewpoints on why that is, you know.
Well, I tell my son, you know, it's, you know, his like, oh, so-and-so, they're watching Nick TV or what have you. What is that, child cartoon channel or whatever. Anyway, I tell him, I'm sitting there looking at the show, I'm sitting there like, oh, my goodness, do you realize how many points your IQ just dropped?
Some of those, wow. Some of those are scary, and some of the messages, the hidden messages that are in some of those shows are scary too. But.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, but I notice my children, you know, they're happy outside barefoot. But one of the neighbors, you know, she doesn't mind her daughter coming over here barefoot and everything else, but before the rain really started in, earlier last week, you know, we had some puddles back here, and the kids were out enjoying them. And she had a fit because her daughter was outside barefoot playing in the puddles. And I'm like, so she had this idea that they needed to have rain boots on and stuff. I'm like, okay. I mean, I just, you know, I don't get it. I mean, I'm out there with the kids playing in the belt, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, I remember watching the news during that, and they were really warning people against that for health reasons and everything else. But again, I think it's like anything else. They so overdo it that they put a fear into people. You know,
yeah, that's what I hear all a lot. It's about hookworms. Well, what about hookworms? So I'm sitting here like, do you even know how you catch those?
But the thing about hookworms,
I mean, you have
is...
a better... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I think the phone lines are kind of jittery, so it's like staticky. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, I'm like, you really need to look into how you catch these. You know, you're concerned about all this other stuff and everything else. But if you're not deliberately walking through feces, then, you know, your chances of actually catching them, most of them are airborne. You know, you walk into a public bathroom, if someone has gone to the bathroom and they have worms, the eggs to those worms are actually floating through the air, and you don't catch them through your feet. You catch them through your nostrils and your mouth. And then
yeah,
some of these worms,
pretty...
they come in through our food.
Yeah.
That's why we're supposed
hookworms,
to cook our food.
Hookworms specifically, ever since we've had indoor plumbing, they've been virtually eradicated. There's been actually one single reported case in the last, I think it's like 30 years, of true hookworm, the type of hookworms that come from humans. There are types that come from animals, but the thing is, mm-hmm. They can't survive inside of them. Even if they get into you, they're, you know, the thing about parasite worms in general is they're really specific to a species. So the body temperature of a specific animal that, you know, they might use as a host is what they need to survive. If they get inside of a person, they're not going to live. They just can't. They provide some minor irritation at first or whatever, but they're just not going to be able to survive. So there's a lot of people that really are concerned about them, you know, as far as like the ones that animals put out there. But again, it's not the same thing.
It's
completely different.
But,
and the ones that
you know, if you have DER, I can't pronounce it, and diatomaceous, or however you pronounce it, earth, is a mineral that works as, it rids yourself of worms. I use it as a dewormer on my animals. We use it, and it also repels bugs, so I can use it to get rid of ants and everything. But it actually replenishes minerals that our bodies need, at the same time killing out the parasites or anything that's in our bodies that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, dewormers, you know, even for animals, are a very simple thing. It's not a complicated drug or anything. It's almost, I can't think of what they even call it. Estrogen or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most people think they have to go to a vet and have all this stuff done. When we got Coco, I'd already had treated her, but I wanted to make sure what I was dealing with, because when we got her, she was sickly. And so that's pretty much all I did. And then the vet's like, okay, well, you know, she needs her 8 weeks of vaccinations. And I told him when we got her, she was 6 weeks old. And I said, I wanted them tested, you know, to see what parasites or whatever I was dealing with, because some of these can actually be deadly for puppies. And I said, I wanted to know what I was dealing with. So she gave me the result, but I told her, I said, we will not be doing vaccination. So here they are, they're calling me and they're sending me postcards and she needs her vaccines. And I'm like, no, she doesn't. I'm not going to vaccinate her. The only vaccine I will be willing to give her is the rabies vaccine. But I'm going to be very particular with that also. You know, I'm not going to just vaccinate her just because you have this mindset. You know, I'm educated on this stuff, so don't push the issue. I said I will find another vet.
So many cancers have been linked to these vaccinations for animals, and I believe people in general too. But
they have.
You got to remember, a vet, that's kind of like their primary source of income, are these vaccinations. So of course they're completely sold on it. I think it's not because they're trying to do anything wrong, but when they were being taught and going through school, they were taught all the benefits and why you want to do it and everything else. We believe we do the initial vaccinations, you know, and then after that, it depends on what it may be, but most of them, I think, are really overrated, especially if you have an animal that's indoors.
Yeah. Well, there are natural alternatives that animals get in the wild. When people think about it, you know, why don't the wolves and the foxes and everything else have all these issues? If our dogs have to be vaccinated, then how do these other species that, you know, in the same place survive and thrive? And they don't go get their vaccination. You know, and look how many years they live. And people don't realize that the food you feed your animal, you know, determines a lot on their health, and especially, you know, with the vaccine. You know, they think they have to be dry kibble or what have you. I met a lady at Costco the other day. Bree had done some fundraisers to
help out the animal shelter. So we went to Costco and got the supplies that they needed, and got the chicken broth and the right rice. And I was looking at the food. I'm sitting here looking at the ingredients, and I'm sitting here, I really can't, even though these are not my animals, I cannot buy this food and take in there. I can't supply that. So anyway, but over at the dog section, I was talking with this one lady, and she noticed that I was barefoot. And then we struck up a conversation, and she was looking at the ingredients of the dog food, and I was like, okay, then look at the ingredients of what's the number one lane, if you have meal and everything, so you have to take that consideration. I said, but she was talking about how her dog was sickly. And I was like, well, I educated myself on the dog food whenever I noticed that my kids were eating it. And I said, but if my kids are eating it, I want to make sure that it's healthy. I said, but then I got to thinking, wait a minute. If I wouldn't feed it to my kids, why would I feed it to my animals?
Yeah, it's a lot of what's in, it's real. I've done research myself being in pet rescue, and, it's a fine line because you want to make sure that they have all the nutrients that they need, and some of that is put in some of these foods, but most of what's in there is filler. It's depending on the food. Some of them are a little better than others, but the byproducts,
products, and some of them even use euthanized animals, and people don't know that. And then a lot of them, the number one ingredient is corn, and their bodies are not set up to digest some of these grains. And then you look at the food coloring.
Why did they put food coloring?
Yeah, I know that, which one is it? I was looking at one the other day, it had food coloring in it, and it's like, that's not for the animals, that's for the people opening the can. Make them think
yeah, because the animals don't care what color their food is.
Yeah, it's to make the person think that it's more appetizing than it really is. And unfortunately, a lot of that's in some of the really cheap stuff. It is really a dilemma for me, because I'm trying to find the best what to feed them, and you want to make sure that you get the full balance of what they need, which some of the commercial foods have, but they have so much that's not good for them as well. Really,
yeah, insane. Like sugar. Sugar, I mean, dogs do not need sugar, and especially humans don't need the sugar. But a lot of people don't realize how sugars can detox out of your feet. And like aspartame and everything collects up in your brain. But for those that go barefoot, they don't have the buildup in their bodies that other people that wear shoes all the time do. But then, how animals go barefoot a lot. I mean, all the time, pretty much. And there's a new rave of shoes for animals. I don't know if you've seen that. I think we've discussed on it before, but wow. I mean, they're even coming out with tennis shoes for dogs. Not just snow boots. They're coming out with tennis shoes for dogs.
It's ridiculous. And, people think they're protecting their feet. It changes their gait, the way they walk. They end up with, arthritis and, all kinds of damage by throwing their alignment out by wearing these things. If you ever watched an animal first put on shoes, it's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen to try to watch them try to walk in them. Poor things don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame them.
That should be a sign for us there, But
I do have a belief with animals and shoes. I believe that people that own animals and are walking them should be required to walk them. The owner should be required to walk barefoot. Because
being at a pet store. If the ground's too hot for the dog.
For the person, it's going to be too hot for the dog. I see people stop and having conversations in the middle of a parking lot, and their poor dog's like dancing around. And I've actually made comments to people, and they hadn't really even, they just don't put two and two together. They just can't, and some of them get a little taken back, but I'm sorry. That's, just something that I definitely have a belief in.
People don't notice that if we stop and talk or what have you. And most of the people around here, they're walking their dog. And we have one that is a hairless dog. So he has, that one has to stay in the shade or has to stay covered, and they have to keep sunscreen on it and everything else. I'm like, okay. But then we stopped in Hawthorne one day, and I was there barefoot. The concrete was hot. And so I, you know, started walking towards the grass area underneath the tree, and they didn't want to get off the concrete. I'm sitting here like, okay, you're going to keep sunscreen and everything on your dog, keep a shirt over it, but yet you're not going to get its four paws off the hot concrete.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the mentality is people will say, oh, gee, I better get them some shoes. You know, that's the sad part. So, you know, if you try to push that issue, which I do, then people are, if they would just walk the dog barefoot, or even some of the time so they got a feel for it, they would be a lot more careful where they walk their dogs.
Yeah.
You know, pay a lot more attention to it.
You can tell, another thing is how the health of a human, and you can tell a lot from a dog's paws also on their health. Now, I do use a balm. It's you can get it at Lowe's, I know, but I don't know what other stores you can get it. But it's they have a foot balm and a hand balm for hard workers or what have you. And then there's MSM cream, which is completely safe for them if they lick it off and everything. Put it on my feet, and whenever I notice there's any discomfort because, you know, of course, Coco's a puppy and she's growing, and there's times when you can tell that she's, you know, going through a growing spurt, I'll put the MSM cream on her paw, and then it works as a like Advil, you know, so to say. You know, it helps relieve pain. You can also take MSM orally, not just on your skin. But I noticed that whenever my legs or anything hurt, instead of taking something by mouth, if I just put the MSM cream on my feet, then I get the results faster than it having to process through my body.
Cool.
And then I can tell also, like, we have linoleum here. We're in a rental. This isn't our house. And then we had our house in Texas. I had concrete, and then we put in the wood tile, the ceramic wood tile. And I could tell whenever I worked in on certain floor types, if my feet seemed slick as I walked onto the surface, you know. I was like, okay, well, knowing whenever I mopped or whatever I cleaned or whatever has been on the floor or what have you, you know, what's going on, and then I can associate the way the floor surface is on my feet on how I need to address my body. And I noticed that the other day as I walked into the bathroom, I noticed that my feet, even though I was barefoot, the floor seemed slick. And then, of course, you know, it was the same time that my iron was bottoming out, and I just increased my vitamins and everything. And, of course, my feet are back to their moisture and everything that they're supposed to have. But a lot of people don't make that connection. They're not aware, or I don't even know if there is any education on that, really. But
yeah, I don't think
you can tell a lot. But I have noticed that any time that I can walk, and if I notice that the floor is unusually slippery, whenever it should not be, you know, then I'm like, okay, so I need to address my body because my feet are telling me something. But it's the same way with dogs. I mean, you can tell a lot from a dog's paw.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we're up to another break. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the
Bella's
film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
I get doctor to a woman by blood, they say this is better. I hear.
That's a little bit of tissue. I've only had one tissue test. And that's when they diagnosed me with the autoimmune disease.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then.
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
Okay. New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Tony?
Yeah.
Looks like this is going to drop. We may lose it. It was telling me I've got like 10 seconds left on air, so if we fall off, I'm going to try to put this back out here real quick. I know we only have a little bit of time left.
Okay.
You still there?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We wanted to dial back in, but I know we're almost done anyway, so.
I don't know how to work any of that stuff. So.
Yeah, I got to get more information on it. Okay, well, I'm going to just stay on here, and until, if it kicks us off, it kicks us off, because it's telling me we can't have multiple episodes, so it looks like there's one that's overlapping us or something. So we will see what it does. If we lose it, we lose
okay.
it. We only have a few more minutes, and I'll just have to get some more information on this. But, yeah, it is interesting. There's so many things, you know, you even think about what we were talking earlier with foods and everything. I think most people don't realize that our grain diet that, you know, has been so pushed at us over the years is really was designed to feed, you know, large-scale armies, you know, during World War I and World War II. And, you know, they started giving incentives to grow grain versus, you know, other crops because it was something that could be cheaply done and transported. But the nutritional value just isn't there.
No.
And it's had a second effect of stripping the nutrients out of soils from all this overgrowth. So, hopefully with education we'll be able to change some of this. But as of right now, what we put into our bodies, we don't even think about sometimes. When I say we, as a general population. It's really scary. And you know, the whole food pyramid that was, you know, pushing grains back, you know, 20, 30 years ago was a big thing.
No, that was pushed during school. You know, they pushed that on so many levels. Everywhere you turn, there's a pyramid, the food pyramid. You know?
And it was mostly grains. Yeah. So... So, because that's what they're paying people to grow. So, I mean, I understand why it had to be at the time, maybe, but it's really affecting our health, that's for sure. And same with shoes. I mean, I don't think, you know, I think in hindsight, when people look back through history at this, they're probably going to cringe. On the damages we do to ourselves. We look at the cultures that did foot binding and how terrible that was, but how much better is, you know, strapping on a hard leather device on your feet and leaving it there your whole life?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the same extreme, but it's not helping any, that's for sure.
The education.
Yeah. But it is still, like I said earlier in the episode, it amazes me, you know, how universal, you know, people have to, they're concerned about your feet or what you're going to step on. And, you know, the different things people do in their lives that are rather dangerous, you know, and they're concerned about somebody stepping on something, you know. And I think it's a genuine concern for them. I don't think they're doing it out of malice or anything, but... we've just been kind of programmed in that direction.
I mean, I know that, you know, I had to educate myself, and I couldn't take my doctor's word for it. Nutritionalists and everything, is, you know, even though you go to school for nutrition, I mean, they're unaware of a lot of this also. And you would think that that would be their number one, you know, idea. But it's just so... misguided. I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whenever I was sick, I was wheelchair bound. I couldn't walk and had no sheath on my spine. Had lesions on my brain. You know, I had what they were calling multiple sclerosis, but I'm not sure if that was the proper diagnosis. They said it was progressive relapsing multiple sclerosis and that your sheath cannot be repaired, been able to repair mine. So if they say medically it's impossible for it to be repaired, okay, well, if it wasn't done by diet, it was done by God, because whenever you, the doctors, told me that I had less than 5 years to live, I prayed and I said, okay, God, they've done theirs. You know, they failed, so you're the one who created me. If there's anything you can do, I need you to do it. And that's when he told me to take your faith from man and put it back in me, and I will show you what to do. And in that, you know, he has brought to my awareness the barefooting, the nutrients, the sources of food, what to avoid, what my body needs. Like people think, oh, sugars, you need to, you know, cut out all sugars. No, you don't need to cut out all sugars. You just need to be aware of what sugars you're taking in and how certain foods process into your body and turn into sugar.
You know, again, you were mentioning, you know, talking to go barefoot. I that's something that I learned that really surprised me. You know, we're so germophobic and worried about microorganisms. But the truth is, microorganisms are like little machines that aid us and keep us alive for the most part. We wouldn't be alive without most of them. And
yeah. I mean, how many do you have that live on your eyelashes? You
know? Yeah. And your entire body, inside and out, 90 trillion. That's the number, 90 trillion. I've heard different numbers here and there, but that seems to come up a lot. That's a lot. You know, when you think about, you know, we always talk about the national debt, what a huge number, and it is, but, you know, it's, what, it's 17 trillion, somewhere around there, which is
it's just increasing,
making light
yeah.
of it. Yeah, well, it's always increasing. It's ridiculous, but I mean, if you think about how huge that number is, and then you turn around and think of that, each one of us has 90 trillion microorganisms on or in us at any given time. And the truth is, we wouldn't be alive without most of them. But yet, we view them as a threat that we have to annihilate. And a lot of that goes back to the plagues, you know, which ended up being a water source, not, you know. But there's this general belief that we have to, quote, cleanse ourselves of things. And
they don't realize what they're killing off. Yeah.
Yeah. They're, if you want to make a comparison to our technology these days, you know, all the little circuits inside of your electronics, everything that are there doing something, our body has, and kill them off. You know, if you start killing them off on our computers, we wouldn't have any computers. So,
yes.
Although we end up with viruses there, but that's a whole different subject. But, you know, it really is to me, though, rather enlightening to think about. I think about our technology, you know, these little smartphones and everything, that the software can be changed at any time. You know, it's constantly download new software. The hardware itself, when you buy a smartphone, it's fixed. It's how they designed it. It's how they put it in there. It can't be altered. So it has a limited lifespan, and then you have to throw it away. But imagine if your cell phone had, like, little microorganisms inside of it that could reconfigure things and adapt and make changes. And I believe a lot of times that's what's happening with the ones that are on and in us or on the ground and that we communicate with. And even though they may seem like very minor single-cell organisms or something, when you combine them together, they create circuits that actually do things.
I mean, look, you know, if you have a cold or a virus or something like the flu and stuff, a lot of people don't, you know, they underestimate onions. You know, if you have potato salad and, you know, you get food poisoning, people always want to connect that to eggs. Like, And I'm like, okay, so the food poisoning actually came from the onion and not the eggs. You know, and they're like, okay, well, look at it this way. If you have viruses going around your house, all you have to do is slice an onion and sit it out, and it will absorb the bacteria, the viruses, out of the air. Okay? So then you can also slice an onion and sit it on the bottom of your foot, and you put a sock on to hold it in place while you sleep, and it will actually pull the toxins out of your body. You know? Like I tell people, once you cut an onion, don't eat it. You know, you don't slice up an onion, only use half of it, put the rest of it in the fridge, unless you slice it and you put it in a continuous airtight container, and so you're going to use it.
It's funny you mentioned onions. Really interesting you mentioned onions, because yesterday when I had texted that I was not feeling very well, I had just come from a fast food place. I won't mention it on the air which one, but there was a lot of onion on the burger that I ate. And almost instantly, I mean,
within 30 minutes.
Do a pet adoption. Yeah, right after, I had to go do a pet adoption. And I started feeling terrible. And I literally had to text the person that was waiting for me in the store because I had went to the back to get something, to get some food, and I ended up in the bathroom. I had to text him and just say I got tied up in the back. I didn't really want to go into the details on the text. You know, I was so sick all night from that, and I assumed it was related somehow, but I really didn't put the onions together other than I was, you know, without getting gross about it, burping onions for the entire night, it seemed like. But, yeah, it was like, I can believe that could be related then, because I sure was feeling horrible. And it,
yeah.
I was feeling great.
I mean, you'd be able to tell within 30 minutes. A lot of people don't realize that. It's within a 30-minute window. Your body's telling you, hey, I don't like this. Hey, this isn't good for me.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people just don't make that connection. And it had a lot of onion on it.
Yeah. But I'm like, okay, I avoid onions at a salad bar for that reason and everything, but I'm aware, so then I have to be more cautious because I don't want to get sick. I don't like getting sick or anything, so I'm going to avoid things that I know that is going to make me sick. I cannot have preservatives. I have a gluten intolerance. And I cannot do aspartame or artificial sugars. We use the raw sugars and we use the raw salts and spices and everything in our house. But everybody's like a rave right now, go get your flu shot. Okay. Why? Yeah. Well, you don't want to get the flu. I'm like, you get the flu shot, you're going to get the flu. I'm like, we haven't gotten flu shots in years. And every time my husband would get the flu shot because he was active duty and he had to, pretty much. He always got the flu, but none of us did. I mean, there are people that would get so sick with the flu after they've had that they would be hospitalized. And here we are, no flu shot, going around barefooted, all degree weather, you know. I mean, it could be 30, 20 degrees outside, and we're still going barefoot. We don't get sick. So why is that?
Yeah.
I mean, if the temperatures and everything is what makes you sick, or this, is, you know, like, think about that for a minute. I'm always barefoot, no matter what the degree is. I mean, I'll go out to the mailbox in 2 feet of snow. I don't care. I may be sitting by the fireplace when I come back in, but.
It is funny. I think I mentioned before, since I've been going barefoot in cold weather, the cold weather doesn't bother me anymore. I mean, let me get that straight. I mean, it does get cold. And since I'm in Florida, not nearly as much as other places. But we still get a winter. And I had noticed when I started going year-round barefoot, I mean, it was something that, at first, I didn't even realize it, and then we were actually walking around St. Augustine, my wife and I, and I started noticing people were bundled up and freezing, you know, shivering. My wife was shivering, and I was barefoot, you know. I had a life jacket on because it was a time of year it was a little cool, but nothing heavy, and I was extremely comfortable. And at the time, I thought, well, maybe it's because the ground's just warmer, was my thought. You know, that was really my thought. Maybe that had a little bit to do with it. But then I noticed the more that I went barefoot in the wintertime, the more I started noticing other people that were freezing. And I wasn't cold. And sometimes it was in the evenings when the ground really wouldn't have been, you know, much warmer, you know. So I think just improving circulation. I also think the way our internal, from what I've read a little bit, is the way our internal thermostats work. You know, if you cover your feet, you know, which have more of the sensory, you know, than any other part of your body, and it's, you know, 105 plus degrees in your shoes, what's it telling your body to do? You know, it's not telling it to turn the heat on.
No.
You know, so
then you have these people
believe...
that wear toe warmers on top of that.
Unbelievable.
Like, okay. I mean, I can understand if it's, you know, degrees outside, windy, and you've got your feet buried in snow and you're working at it and everything for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, like deer hunters and everything like that. I can understand that. But seriously? My mom, my birthday's not till November. And... we went over to my parents' house, you know, since we're up here. My parents are up here after John retired, so that's where we came pretty much. But anyway, so my dad's birthday, October 1st.
and we were at my mom's house for a little bit, and she was like, here, I got you your birthday present. I'm going to give it to you early.
Mm-hmm.
She got me a pair of boot socks and a shawl with a hood on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, we got these in at the store, and I told Kathy that I had to get them for you because you never wear a coat. You're always going barefoot, and you never wear a coat. She was like, it doesn't matter how cold it is outside, but you don't wear a coat. She was like, the most I've seen you wear is like a sweatshirt. And I'm like, well, that's all I'm going to need, you know, unless I'm out working in it for long periods of time. I don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, even if I'm out there shoveling snow, I'm shoveling snow barefooted with no coat on. You know, because it snowed last year. I was out there shoveling, and my son, who will be 21 in November, he was fussing. He was like, what are you doing? He was like, you need to get a coat on. You go get a coat on. And I said, honey, I'm fine. I'm sweating. I'm hot. I don't want a coat on. It's just going to make me even more uncomfortable. So then he comes out there, and he's got his coat on. Lo and behold, if he's not out there 5 minutes, then he's stripping his coat off.
Yeah.
You know?
But it is
and then
funny,
he's like, wow. He goes, it is hot.
a lot of people, especially, you know, I didn't even realize it until I started going barefoot year-round. And I used to freeze at room temperature. I was very cold-natured.
That's my husband.
And then all of a sudden, I wasn't anymore. So, in fact, I remember the first year, I remember going into a restaurant. I actually put shoes on only because it was extremely cold out. And it wasn't that I was concerned about the cold, but just the reaction I was going to get. And I got in that restaurant. I was so uncomfortable. I was burning up. And that was the last time after that. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't
no, I
it.
Was sitting outside. I was sitting outside the other night, and it was fairly late. And this gentleman's walking his dog. His one comment as he walks up to me, he goes, are you not cold? And I said, no, why? And he was like, it's chilly out here. I'm like, okay. And he was like, well, he goes, I'm just wondering, you're out here barefooted. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah,
no,
that's
like, he couldn't figure out that I didn't have any shoes on. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't need shoes on. I said, it's not that cold out here.
But that's it.
And then it's only like 68 today, and the kids out here running around, they've got jackets on and everything else, and I'm out here with a T-shirt on, barefoot.
Yeah.
And they're running around here like they're freezing.
I understand.
I mean,
that was exactly the response I would get. And the funny part is I could kind of perceive where they were coming from, because when I was cold all the time, I would have probably felt that way if I saw it. But once I had made that transition, it was like, I'm comfortable. I mean, truly comfortable, not, you know. And I could see the people around me were freezing. And I always used to be the first one. So I truly got that.
Yeah.
I noticed we're coming up on
son.
The top of... Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I've just learned
a lot from
the hour.
My son.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
With my son having Asperger's, I've learned a lot from him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not liking clothes on, not liking shoes on, and everything else. I've learned a lot.
Yeah. That's a good thing. You know, not the Asperger, but the fact that you can learn from it, and sometimes you're surprised with the answers that you'll find, not all what you expect. It's usually counterintuitive what you thought you'd expect. But,
He's in tune with his body, so unlike other people, and
yeah.
I think that's what it is. But
yeah.
Anyway, the hour.
we're at that time, and only because another show comes in after, so we're supposed to drop a few minutes early. So until next week, we'll be here again, same time. And,
well, how about next week we I wonder what the connection is, you know, with a lot of children with autism and a lot of children with some behavioral issues. One of their number one complaints is shoes or a certain type of clothing. So maybe that can be our discussion for next week.
Maybe we can find some information, and if anyone has some knowledge on that, they could post to the Society for Barefoot Living during the week. If they have any information we could use, it would be appreciated.
And look me up in the group. I mean, if you want to If you want to contact me personally on my Facebook page, I'm Tony Crook, and I'm in the group for Society of Barefoot Living and the legal, and also that message me. I do have two children with autism.
So. And that is true. I've heard that many times before, and I have a niece with it as well, and I know that can be the same kind of thing. So we'll look at that, and between now and then we'll get together, Tony, and get ready for that.
All right. Okay. Well, you guys have a blessed week. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.